You're listening to the Digital Strips Podcast, the first and best webcomics podcast on the planet, and the latest example of a job the police clearly aren't cut out for. I am your host, and I live in constant fear of pretty much everything, including exclusively putting my comic on yet another mobile app. I am Jason, the Midnight Cartooner Sigler. With me as always, he is the clear voice of reason in all of our adventures, and without a quirky personality, there's no way he'll ever be the main character. He is Steve the Geek Shitty.
Just saying, we shouldn't walk in poo.
I mean, I hear you, but it would be funny.
It's the only way to get our dog back.
There you go, yeah. You gotta walk through the poo in the sewer. Like, it's clearly the only place we haven't looked, so. That is a take on the comic that we'll be looking at this week, and we will get to that. But I also have some news items to go through. That's right, we're getting lots of news these days. A lot of it is webtoons related, and even if it's not, it's tangentially. So it's, that's just the world we live in right now. The webcomics is webtoons in a lot of ways. So the first bit is Evan Dom of Rice Boy and Order of Tales and Vatu fame is now posting his comics on webtoons. And the start of that venture is Vatu, which is getting I imagine a slight reformatting, but Evan's stuff by and large fits well to a comic page. So if it does that, then you don't have sprawling panels that, you know, break out all over the place, then you're better off probably formatting your stuff for webtoons. So I've read the first two updates of Vatu. He says that's how it will update. It will be periodically. He's not just going to put it all up at once. So I'm excited to get that story, because I read Order of Tales like the first 300 pages and then fell off of that one, and Vatu I never got into, and I didn't like that because I love Evan Dom's stuff. So if you're a fan, and even if you're not, it's on webtoons now, so where you can find everything. So go look up Vatu. It is good stuff from what I've seen so far, and Evan Dom is just one of my favorite creators of all time, so check it out.
Yeah, I totally forgot about Vatu. Like, you mentioned that. I'm like, oh yeah, I read that when I was, and then like, wait, did I read Vatu? And now I'm looking at it, I'm like, I never read this. And I'm excited, because I ain't waiting for webtoons. I'm just going to read all 1,100 pages on its site. So, you know. Or would webtoons get him more money? Yeah, but then I'd have to wait.
It's a good question. I don't know. There you go. See? Risk reward. But either way, go check out that comic and Evan Dom's stuff. Also, so last episode I talked about Marvel relaunching their Unlimited app with some Infinity comics. And I'd also previously talked about DC getting into webtoons and actually posting some exclusive comics on there. And I think this is the first offering. I'm not sure if it's the first one, but there is one on there now that you can read called Batman Wayne Family Adventures. And it is pretty all ages friendly take on. So there's one new character of the Batman family, I guess, that's moving into Wayne Manor, and they use that as a chance to show the whole Bat family living there together. Damian, who is the current Robin, mentioned several times, like, they come and go as they please. We're the only ones that actually live here. They just, you know, stop in for food and whatever every once in a while. And there's one episode where the whole family is fighting over the last cookie, and it's silly. Like, it's very silly. Occasionally you see them in costume doing superheroic things, but you know, that one is an entire episode about Barbara Gordon as Oracle, who, you know, basically runs operations for all the Bat family, and she's having lunch with her dad, but flashing back to times when she had to help everybody. And one is Robin and the Spoiler. Actually, I think it's Tim Drake Robin, so I'm not sure what his character name is at this point. Red Robin at one point. And Spoiler, like checking out this bank, like, oh, there's going to be a robbery here. And there's like, there's no robbery. Like, there's nobody here, blah, blah, blah. And so she looks at their GPS and she's like, you guys are at the wrong bank. And they're like, oh God, don't tell Batman.
It sounds almost Teen Titan-y.
It's not quite there. Teen Titans is a lot more cartoony, and this is still drawn kind of within like more of an anime style, which I think is honestly done to fit the webtoons audience, because you know, that's by and large what you see here. But yeah, it's not quite as silly and parody-y as Teen Titans, but it's more in that direction than I think your typical mainstream book. So yeah, it's fun. It's worth checking out. There's 3 episodes so far, so go check that out if you like your Batman and you like your webtoons. And the final bit I wanted to talk about is Scott Kurtz. There's a couple of news items involving him. First, if you haven't checked out PvP in a while, if you go to that site, it is not currently the PvP comic itself posting. It is a comic called Mort. And this comic is based on the real-life experiences Scott had and has with his dad, who I believe suffered a stroke in the relatively recent past. And it sounds like it was a touch and go for a while, and maybe it was a bad situation. And now, you know, they're kind of living with that. And just the process of going through that, he, I think, created this comic during that. And, you know, said, like, PvP will return sometime, but right now this needs to get out of me. Like, I need to post this. And so Mort is a kind of a millennial skeleton at death, basically. But he comes to meet Scott's character, which I think it is actually Scott. I can't remember if he uses that name in the comic, but meets him in the hospital when his dad's still there. And, you know, is a very unwelcome presence because it's death. So, you know, that means that somebody's going to die. I don't want you around. Get away. And, you know, they eventually leave the hospital. Spoilers. But they leave the hospital and he tags along. And Scott's character is like, yeah, you don't have to do that. You stay back at the hospital. We're good. He's like, oh, that's what you think. So there's some pathos there. There's some sweet moments. There's also plenty of humor because it's, you know, Scott Kurtz. He's got plenty of humor in there as well. So it's a really sweet, fun comic, and I'm enjoying it so far. So I know I just turned Steve onto it like right now, and I think he's reading it as we speak. So Steve, what do you think of it?
It's awesome. This is really, really good. I mean, it's definitely, I mean, you can see that Scott Kurtz has grown over the years and now is dealing with much more mature topics, you know, 20 years on from when he started PvP or whatever it's been. And as we have also aged up, this hits places, and it's really well done. So good on him. And I'm going to try real hard to stop reading so we can talk about our review comic this week.
Yes, I appreciate that. And there was one other Scott Kurtz-related news item. I think it was this past, as of the posting of this, or as of the recording of this episode, it was this past week, but Carl Kershaw of Abominable Charles Christopher and numerous mainstream comics fame posted that Scott Kurtz talked with him recently and wrote a, like, 5-page Superman story. And, you know, asked if he wanted to illustrate it. And he's like, I'd be glad to. So they just posted that online and you can go read it. I will link to the Twitter, I think, post in our show post so you can find it. But it's just a short little 5-page Superman story. Kind of cute. And Carl's like, you know, I'd love to see the full story because I'd love to illustrate it. This was a lot of fun. And I'm sure, you know, Scott Kurtz is over the moon, no matter what he might say about getting to do a Superman comic with Carl Kershaw. And it's like I said, it's short and sweet, but it's a nice teaser for what maybe could come with a longer story. So it's just one of those Superman stories that's gets to the heart of the character. And I think it's a knocking it out of the park for the 5 pages. So yeah, if you haven't read that, go check that out. It's another Kurtz work that is worth checking out.
In actuality, though, it's real easy for Superman to knock it out of the park. He's very strong.
That's why I meant the comic knocks it out of the park. Obviously, Superman can do pretty much whatever he wants.
I've got a baseball game this afternoon. I've got baseball on the brain.
Thank you for letting me know that. That is good to know. I will not mention baseball anymore. I hope this comic doesn't, because I get it. We'll talk about that as we get into Fearless Frankie. Nope, Frankie Fearless. I knew I was going to mess that up. Frankie Fearless is brought to us by Brian Gordon of Foul Language fame. And it is exclusively on the Tiny View app and website. And this was Steve's pick, so I'm going to let him talk about Frankie Fearless.
Tiny View, more like Tiny Boo! So Frankie Fearless is the story of Frankie Fearless, the unappropriately named young lady who is afraid of everything. What really kind of drew me to this comic is its creator. It's by Brian Gordon, who is the creator of Foul Language, the slice of life duck comic that I just could never get enough of. And it's his take at a more long form story comic that is also gag-a-day. So everything's 4 or 5 panels and has a joke at the end, but it tells this overarching story of Frankie as she comes to grips with her paralyzing paranoia. We are 8 months into this comic, I think, and we still don't know if there are actually monsters for her to be scared of or not, or if it's all in her brain. And I kind of dig it. I was convinced this was going to be very monster of the week. Frankie deals with this ghost. Frankie deals with the wolf man. Frankie says relax. And now we're stuck with this long-form story instead of that, where we don't know if Frankie has to deal with all these things. We don't know if it's all in her head or not. And that's really kind of cool. And right now, she's in a bunch of poo looking for her dog. I have now brought the thread back to our intro. You're welcome.
Job is done. I made my pun.
I'm going to go read about Scott Kurtz's dad.
That's not the plan here. Thank you very much. It is kind of newspaper strip-like in that it's pretty inoffensive. It has a little bit of an edge to it, a little bit of a webcomics-like edge, but it's pretty otherwise, wholesome. And Frankie is terrified of everything. Her friend is not quite so afraid, so it makes a good foil for her. And like you said, I did not expect it to become a story. I thought it was going to be more one-off with like short stories, again, like a newspaper strip, but we'd get more one-offs and everything. And that is for a while, but you know, pretty quickly, you know, dog gets lost, gotta go find, well, monster shows up possibly, and dog gets lost, meet hippie woman, patchouli in the woods. And I think it's the way these stories go now for me, which kind of stinks, but is understandable. The stories about kids, I always enjoy more the parents, because the parents are, you know, that's me. I'm not the kid anymore. And so I enjoy what the parents are doing and what their life is like and how funny they are and how they relate to the children. Like if I read Calvin and Hobbes now, I'd probably relate far more to the dad than I do to Calvin. And that's fine. But also, I remember the dad being funny because, you know, he's got lots of quips and, you know, thinks a good job well done on the chores is way more important than playing with boxes out in the yard. But as I mentioned that because, you know, the mom mentions at one point when the dog goes missing, she's like, you know, if you really miss Fluffy or whatever the dog's name is, you know, what do you miss most about the dog? He's like, well, he farted a lot. And she's like, well, I could try. And he's like, no, mom, gross. The mom offers to fart. So she misses the dog. So that was that was a very sweet moment. And
I've been preparing my children to lose their dog for years.
That's not what that is. You just have digestive issues that we won't discuss here. But yeah, the parents are kind of quirky and funny, and the whole family is that way. And the story, it's pretty young. We're only on the strip 64, and they are strips. Like, they are 4-panel strips each. So there's not a whole lot to read here yet, but I really enjoy the sweet, fun, goofy, quirky nature of Frankie and the whole world so far. And I think we're only scratching the surface so far, because again, we've met the family, the friend, a couple of classmates, maybe a teacher, and the patchouli, the hippie chick. And that's kind of where we're at. So we're in the sewers, as you mentioned. They are going through poo. We have just been introduced to these creepy fish. They're like different colors that then jump out of the water and like run on legs. So there is confirmation that there is something weird going on in this world. Like, there is going to be supernatural or mutant or something. So it's not just going to be in her head the entire time. These fish have feet. We have confirmation there's going to be weird stuff.
You never know. It could go either way. But yes, I'm convinced that it will be lots of weird monsters and lots of fun is going to be happening. And no one's going to believe Frankie because she spent her entire life saying that there's monsters. And so there'll be some fun to be had with that. And yeah. On the whole, I just really got a lot of nostalgia vibes for old school stuff. I'm too immature to relate to the parents. I will always relate to the kids and their monster scene ways. And yeah, I had a lot of fun with this. Except for the stupid sight. Tiny Boo! I didn't like it. I did not install the mobile app. I read it on the web. And yeah, it sucks. You can't scroll good. Like, we've been kind of spoiled. Now that I've seen Tapas, I'm not going back to anything else where I can't just scroll forever. Webtoon sucks. Tiny View double sucks. You have to click a button that's not in the line with everything. Got to go over to the left. Try to remember if up or down is back. I don't know.
Okay, so a lot of this is just it sucks. You know why? Because it sucks. And I disagree with that sentiment. I do agree that the web experience of Tiny View is not great. It's one of those. I do the same thing with Webtoons. It blows it up too big on the page if you read on the web. So I shrink my browser window down to like 67% or whatever Google goes to. It makes it a little better and more readable. But like you also mentioned, the buttons that we've gotten used to ever since webcomics became a thing, forward, backward. That's how I know where to go, the next comic to go to. And this one changes it to down, up. Okay.
So, yeah.
Up increases. So that is one way to remember it. That is what it means. You go up, you go to the next comic. You go down, you go to the previous one. But just to break that convention just because is so unnecessary. And I imagine it's really simple for them probably to change. You can just change the buttons so they look different and they do the same thing. But I would definitely make that change because that is a very unwelcome, unnecessary, like, innovation. It's like, no, you just made it harder.
Yeah, absolutely. And so to really put on my pedantic web accessibility hat, up and down are actually back and forth in Eastern cultures, and it's backwards, where down would be to go previous and wait. Yeah, down would be to go to the next one, and up would be to go to the previous one. That's just kind of the mental model they have, because they read that direction, whereas we read right to left. So front to back is our next and previous. So I kept trying to think, wait, is this Chinese style or is this bad web style? And it's very much designed to like replicate the experience on the web where you're scrolling up and you're scrolling down. I get that. Here's the thing. I'm not doing that. I'm on a website. There's no reason to be beholden to the mobile for your web thing. I know you're like, oh, we want people to use the app. Well, you know what? I don't want to use the app. And it's to the point where I have to decide between, you know, reading your stuff or not. And as much as I love Brian Gordon, I'm not going to follow this comic because of where it is. That just sucks. I don't like that I can't scroll. I don't like that I have to scroll to read a 4-page comic. That's just stupid. There's no reason to do that. I don't like that I have to move my mouse over to one side, scroll down, and then move my mouse back to the other side to click the buttons. That's stupid. I don't like that it's the ad for the same two comics over and over at the bottom. That's stupid. There's a lot of bad things about it. Don't laugh at me.
I'm laughing because I love when things grind your gears.
Yeah, this. You know what really grinds my gears? When things are bad, and Tiny View is bad.
Again, I don't say just bad outright because it's preference. Like, do you want to download an app? I mean, a lot of people will, and I wonder what the split is between Webtoons. Like, how many people read on the web and how many people actually download the app? Because I mean, especially if you read on a device, it tells you, hey, you should really be using the app. You shouldn't be doing this way. I'm curious about that split. And for this, it is the web experience is so bad that it does kind of force you to use the app, or like you said, just not read it. And that's unfortunate. And I think there will be a reckoning. I think they will either update their platform to be much better, or the website will get better, or the comics will just leave, because there's not that many comics on the service right now. It's under 20, I believe. And another comic that, so Foul Language has moved there. So if you want to read that, you have to read that there, I believe. And Lunar Baboon is also posting on TinyView. And I think if you go to the site, it's just a link to TinyView to like read the full comic. Here's like a little tiny sliver of a panel if you want to look at that. But yeah, so some comics we really like are on the service, and it's for that reason, I hope it gets better. The app is not a bad experience. I have used the app. That's how I read the comic, because the web experience was just getting to be very frustrating. So I read on the app, and it was fine. Once I remembered that Up was the next comic, it was okay. It was weird on the app that the button to go to the next one, you had to scroll back up to the top of the comic. And again, nitpicks, but still, outside of the web comic experience that we've had for many years, that is not intuitive. And so I think the bigger issue would be, like you said, like between cultures, the up and down means totally different things. And you would not think this would just be an app that they're like, okay, only people in the United States can use this. Cannot use it elsewhere. So no.
Well, they've already said only people who want to use their phones can read these comics. They've already said only people who like things that are bad can use these, read these comics. So you say, I can't just say things are bad. I gave a list of all the reasons. And then you're like, oh, this is a nitpick. Like, yeah, but if you add up enough nitpicks, it becomes a concern. And like you said, I need to make a decision. Am I going to read this? And I don't want to read something that infuriates me every time I do it. I've got so much other stuff that I can fill my time with. And as great as this comic is, I'm done with it after this. We're done with the show. And it's nothing to do with the comic itself. And that sucks even more. It's like if you had a show you really like, but every time you got on to change the volume, it electrocuted you. You wouldn't watch the show.
That's where I'll shut you down, because that is not a fair comparison. That is totally, no.
It's an analogy.
It's not. You've done a terrible job of making an analogy for that. It does not electrocute you. It is not actively antagonizing you. don't put it on your phone. You'll be fine. It is a service that needs to improve, and I hope it does, because this comic and others that I've read before, and I'm sure some that will come to it later on, are good comics, and they deserve a good home. So however you can do it, I recommend you read Frankie Fearless or Fearless Frankie? It's Frankie Fearless, right?
Yeah, Frankie Fearless.
I'm doing it without my notes just to test myself. Yeah, Frankie Fearless. So you act like
Frankie's last name. Oh, this is a test you shouldn't take.
No, don't take Jason's tests. Is the family last name Fearless? I think it is.
Yeah, they're the Fearless family, which is a dope name. Like, I wish I was Steve Fearless. I'd be doing so much more baller stuff if that was my name.
But you wouldn't, because the point of her being Frankie Fearless is actually she's terrified of everything.
Well, see, that's why it would be... I would be like the daredevil dad. I'd marry some adventuring woman, and then my son would be a total pushover, and he would be Billy Fearless, and everyone would be like, oh, Billy Fearless, he's like a weirdo.
Like, you get to be the hero, and your son has to be the weirdo. Like, we know enough about you to know that you would totally be the weirdo. You wouldn't know.
Yeah, but I'd be the weirdo doing fun stuff.
Well, that remains to be seen. But regardless, please go check out this comic somehow. I recommend you do it on your phone. Do it some way. Check it out for yourself and determine whether or not you want to keep up with it, because it's fun. It's cute. It's more Brian Gordon goodness. Like, he is a great comics creator, and I've enjoyed his stuff. So, yeah. Go enjoy it however and wherever you can.
Yep. Tiny Boo!
Apologies for letting that happen again. That's the third time, so now the Tiny Boo has to appear. And
it's on you now. Hole. This is all your fault.
It's not. Don't you put that on me. Don't you give me that demon. No demons at the end of the show, though, which is where we are. That's going to do it for this episode of Digital Strips. We thank you very much for your support. If you like this show, I have great news. We do another one. It's a show where we talk about everything and everything, anything and everything under the sun. Our personal histories, stories that happened yesterday, stories that happened 18 years ago. And we talk about all of that until one of us ruins it for the other. And that show is called Then You Ruined It. You can find that podcast along with Digital Strips on pretty much any podcast platform you use. If that is a platform that leaves reviews, uses reviews, please leave us a 5-star review. We really appreciate those. If you have comments about anything we talked about in this episode or suggestions for future episodes, you can find us on Twitter. The show is at Digital Strips. I personally am at the Jason Sigler.
I personally am at Idahobo.
Or if you prefer, you can head on over to our website. That's digitalstrips.com. You can leave us a comment there in the show notes. You can also reach us by email. The email address is digitalstrips@gmail.com. And with that, I am Jason the Midnight Cartooner Sigler.
Last time I checked, I was Steve the Geek Shinny.
Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you in the fourth panel.